Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Phew, got you. Make sure you were here. Well, today's reading has made a lot of questions come to my mind, but I want to let you know that I have answered one of the most relevant, deepest questions of all that we have in the church. And that is, I have discovered why most Episcopalians will not sit on the front row. They take the place in the back just waiting to be invited up. So I invite all of you, if you'd like to sit closer, come on down. But this passage evokes a lot of questions for me. The first question is, Why was Jesus going to eat dinner or lunch or whatever on the Sabbath and with a Pharisee? So I thought about that and, you know, a little study and all that, and remembered that not all the Pharisees were bad guys. They were good, holy men. There were a few who weren't too happy with Jesus, and it tells us in the passage that they were keeping an eye on him. The next question I had was, how would I actually carry out what it is Jesus is telling us to do? I mean, it's kind of like being at a wedding celebration, you know, and the reception, and you go and you look in, oh, isn't it beautiful? And you look and you see what table you're at, and you see who's at your table, and you think no one's looking, so you take your name and put it with your friends and move that person over there. I thought about it. I don't know that I've ever done it. So, it's difficult to know when it is that we are at the bottom and at the top, I suppose. My third question is, what if the host never calls you to come forward? Never calls you to a higher up place? What if that happens? And it does. And you might, in effect, become invisible. And finally, my fourth question is this. Is Jesus really telling me to invite people I don't like or people that for some reason, for lack of a better word, are distasteful to me, to my party? The idea of inviting total strangers to my house for an event of any significance, or for that matter, any event, I find daunting. Now, I'm expecting you to want me to answer these questions. So I'm going to try. I started just to say, I'm sorry, I don't know, and then say, and also with you, and sit down. But anyway, so in sorting out these questions, my answers aren't going to be perfect, but I think that we have an important message from Jesus in this passage. The first question is to think about how amazing, the answer is to think about how amazing and how quickly we stereotype entire groups of people. Those outcast ones, those ones that we don't want to know, those ones that we don't like, and oh, don't you know that if you invite them to your house, they're going to steal something. Like I said, all the Pharisees were not bad guys. This is not the first time Jesus has had a meal with the Pharisees, not the only time. He, on two other occasions, takes a meal with the Pharisees. So I've got to assume that some of them, not only were they not bad guys and good religious men, but were also supportive and friends of Jesus. But there were those that were keeping a close watch over him, and we know what happens with all of that. So I started putting this into the perspective of the Sabbath and thinking, well, probably the meal was already prepared because that's what you do before the Sabbath. You prepare everything because you don't cook or you don't do anything on the Sabbath day. So that maybe it was all prepared before, and so it really is a non-issue that this happened on the Sabbath. But then I wondered, why then does Luke make it clear that this happened on the Sabbath? Sorry, that's another question. And I don't know the answer to that one, except that it's clearly important. And not only is it important that Luke makes sure that we know that it was a Sabbath day, it's also important because whoever put the lectionary together took this piece about the Sabbath day, that's verse 1, and then skips over to the rest of the reading today. So whoever was doing does the lectionary readings thought it was important enough that Luke placed this event on the Sabbath to place it in the reading, even though that it doesn't happen necessarily in that order. The Sabbath is important. And I believe that the Sabbath serves a purpose in our following and our work for Jesus. And it's not just a day of rest. I think the Sabbath is a day of action. We gather on the Sabbath. We come here to be empowered and equipped to be a disciple of Jesus, to rest from the anxieties around us and trust Jesus. Well, the answer to the second question is probably as difficult or as easy as we want to make it. It's easy to think about and use that, oh, we're waiting on the Lord, as an excuse to not do as Jesus commands. There's a misconception that to do something for Jesus has to come to us from a call. And while that has merit, the place that we go astray on this is that we define how that call might come to us rather than listening for how God wants that call to come to us. Listening for God to define what that call will be. Now, if we wait upon the big encounter where Jesus speaks to us audibly, we don't hear, we miss some of the simple things that Jesus is calling us to do. Oh, this isn't important. I'm waiting for the lights and for Jesus' voice, for God saying, "You're blessed." Simple things are important. So we need to listen, because call can be as simple as saying yes to a response to helping someone in need. Maybe your next door neighbor. You don't necessarily have to travel on a mission trip somewhere to answer God's call. Then there's the question not alluded to by Jesus. What if the host never calls you to a higher spot? What if you end up sitting on the back row where no one notices you? You become, in effect, invisible. No one can see you because everyone's back is to you. Does Jesus really suggest that we should engage in behavior that is difficult or uncomfortable? Yes, indeed he does. Well, Jesus, I don't know if I can commit to inviting people off the street or people I dislike or people who disagree with me to my party. Maybe the point is not who you invite as so much as why you invite those people to your party. Oh, I'm going to invite, so-and-so, because then everybody will hear he was at my house or she was at my house, and they'll think I'm really cool. Sometimes the people that we don't want to invite to the party that we should are not necessarily someone that we pull out of a tent as a homeless person, although that could at times be what we're called to do, but rather maybe somebody who is hurting, again, like your neighbor, who's gone through some trauma, who normally you wouldn't invite, but you think about them. And that thought put in your head is a call from Jesus to reach out to that person, to be that friend that they need. So now I know some volunteers at food distributions, they do this work so that they can get something for free, even though they have the resources to go and buy all the groceries they want. or the pastor that picks up donations from local restaurants and offers them to his friends before the really needed food makes it to the food line where they stand and wait so that they can feed their family, that they wouldn't be able to feed without the generosity of the community. And she got what she needed. But by the way, this means that the best items are already gone before the people have a chance to get any of it. And oh, by the way, they brag, look what I got for free. And oh, by the way, isn't it unfortunate that we ran out of food before everyone in line was served? I'm glad I got mine first. And oh, by the way, I just want you to know, I give so much time to the food pantry, I don't even bother with pledging or giving money to my church. I don't need to do that. Well, I think I've already answered kind of all the questions, maybe not in exactly the right order. But I think the fourth question is the most difficult one to answer. Like I said earlier, the idea of having total strangers to an event of any significance of mine, or for that matter, any event, is daunting. I certainly don't think Jesus asks us to go and invite people to our home that might put us in danger. Jesus does teach us that we must do daunting things in his name. In his name, we will be blessed. A quote attributed to Gandhi says, "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." And Desmond Tutu says, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good that put together that overwhelm the world." And God says in Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Amen.